Ruth chapter 1. We're in our Sunday evening series, Portraits, looking at character studies from the Word of God. So tonight we're going to read most of the first chapter of the book of Ruth. We'll read verse 1 down through verse 19. Book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as he have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whither thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can spend time once again in your word. And we pray that it would be a profitable time for us tonight, that our hearts would be ready and receptive to hear your word. So we ask for your blessing now upon our time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A man by the name of Tate Dobson, he's an ultra runner from California. An ultra runner is someone who runs a race or runs further than a marathon, being 26.2 miles. So someone who runs that's not enough. And so they run further than that. And so he had done some really long races and some long runs, but it was on a Thursday night. He was out with some of his friends, and the place where they were was right by a roundabout or a rotary. And he was looking out the window talking with his friends, and then he asked them a question. He said, How many times do you think I could run around that rotary in one go? And so he tried it. A couple days later, he went out there, and he ran 415 laps around the rotary. It took him 6 hours. You know how many miles that was? 36 miles. I feel like you go down the middle of Salem and go, let's do this, right? Just go around and around. It had a sidewalk around the center of it, but he said in an article, he said it was just big enough that I didn't get dizzy, which probably is a concern, you know, if you're just running around that thing. But I think about him just running laps, right, around and around this circle. I know I've gone times and like an extra lap around a rotary because I like wasn't sure which exit I was supposed to take. You know, sometimes you get there and you're like, wait, which one is it? First, second, third, you know, so you just do one more lap, right? Just go around it one more time. I think I've done that before. I've never done 415 extra laps around a rotary. But my point in the story is this. Movement isn't necessarily progress, is it? Motion isn't necessarily progress. I think it's funny that he spent 6 hours, 36 miles going around and around, and he ended up exactly where he was, and he honestly didn't go very far distance-wise, right? Although he ran quite a bit. If you come up to a rotary and you have like a destination somewhere you're trying to go, but you come up to this rotary and all you do is go around it 415 times, you're going to put a lot of miles on your car and you're going to make a lot of like movement, but you're not going to get to your destination. You will have made zero progress toward the destination that you're trying to get to. If he had been wanting to go somewhere, he should have changed direction at some point. I don't know which way he went. I think he went right. But at some point he would have to go, I can't go right anymore. I have to make a left turn at some point if I want to get to where I'm going. And you know, I think in the book of Ruth about Orpah, right? We see Ruth and Orpah, two ladies, they marry their husbands. And then there comes this time where Naomi goes, I'm going back to Israel. And so Ruth and Orpah both go with her part of the way. In verse 7, they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. So they both start this journey with Naomi. But Naomi says to them in verse 8, she says, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And Naomi says, okay, it's time for you to go back. I'll go on to Israel. You go back to where you're from. And if we look down in verse 14, it says, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth doesn't. And then in verse 15, Naomi says to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. I don't know how far they had made it like on their journey to the promised land. But at the beginning of chapter 1 and at the end of chapter 1, Orpah's in the same exact place. She had made a lot of motion and a lot of movement, but hadn't made any progress toward the promised land, toward that destination where she should have gone. Right? She made no movement toward it. She ended up back in the same place where she was. And tonight I want to see in Ruth a portrait of progress. A portrait of progress for us tonight. Progress is movement. We're going to define it as movement in the right direction. It's movement in the right direction. We can't help but move. We can't help but have motion in our life, right? We're always doing things. It's like there's always stuff going on and we're always making choices and decisions and all of that. Really, the issue for us is direction. Where are we going with all the things that we're doing? Where is this bringing us? Where are we headed in all that we're doing? Are we intentionally taking steps, moving in the right direction? Or it could be that as we live our life and as the weeks and the months and the years go by, we find ourselves almost like we're just going in circles, like we're doing a lot, but we're not really making any progress as we should be. So tonight we're going to look at Ruth as this portrait of progress for us. And we see this intentional choice that she makes to go forward. And so there's three lessons that I want us to see tonight in learning to choose to progress, to go forward, to move in the right direction. Here's the first lesson in verse 15, and it's that we need to realize what's behind us. We need to realize what we're leaving behind, what is behind us. So in verse 15, Naomi says to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi encourages Ruth to go back, to choose the wrong direction. And she says, I want you to turn around and go back. Now, turning around isn't necessarily always a bad thing. I mean, it depends where you're going. Because sometimes there are times where you need to turn around. If you were heading on an on-ramp onto the highway and you see a lot of signs that say wrong way, you should turn around. Absolutely. Do not keep going the way you're going. Don't think I'll do it later. You know, I could probably get off the exit I want to anyways if I just go this side. No, turn around, right? If you're headed the wrong way, you definitely need to turn around. But then there are other times, if you're going the right direction, it's the very wrong time to turn. And so here's Ruth. She's headed in the right direction, but Naomi says, I want you to turn around. And look what she mentions is behind her. She says, well, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. What was back in Moab for Ruth? Well, all the gods of Moab were back there. They worshipped a number of lesser gods that were referred to as Baal, like all sort of different ones, like the little locations would have their Baal that they would worship. Their primary god of Moab was Chemosh, who was a god that they worshipped by human sacrifice. They thought he demanded like human sacrifice in order to be appeased. They would sacrifice their captured enemies. There was one Moabite ruler that sacrificed his son in order to ensure victory. So this was the god that she would have gone back to worship and to exalt. So both Ruth and Orpah assumedly had grown up worshiping these sort of false gods and were familiar with them. Those were back there. Naomi also points out that Ruth's people were back there. All the like the family that she had, the friends that she had grown up with, all the people that she was familiar with. In verse 8, it talks about their mother's house. It says, go return each to her mother's house. It probably would be pretty easy to return to what was familiar to you, right? Going back to where there's people that you knew. I think I would much rather go to a place where I knew people than to a place that was all strangers. I would feel much more comfortable going to a place where I know people that are there instead of going to a place where I don't know anybody, right? And so here Ruth is faced with this choice where the gods that she was familiar with were behind her. The people that she knew, all of them, they were back there in Moab. Also, there wasn't a famine in Moab, so like she knew there was food back there. Now, Naomi had heard that if they go on to Israel, God had provided food there, but I mean, what if they got there and there wasn't? Or what if they got there and there wasn't enough? It was a sure thing that if she went back to Moab, she would have enough to eat. It was where they came from. All of this was behind her. And if Ruth had wanted, I'm sure she could have found plenty of reasons to turn around and go back where she came from. And if she had maybe sat down and thought about it, she could have listed out a lot of pros and cons for returning to Moab and found quite a few things to put on the side of, why don't I just go back with Orpah? Why don't I just return back to Moab? That's the choice Orpah made. Orpah said, well, okay, kiss my mother-in-law goodbye. I'm heading back to Moab. And Naomi makes it clear in verse 15 that she went back to her people and she went back to her gods. That's what she returned to. She made that choice. She didn't go back to Moab to worship God in Moab, the true God. She went back to her people and to her false gods. You know, I think the reason many times that we don't make progress is because we have some other god that we're worshiping, whatever it might be. And it keeps us from making progress because we have something that's very important to us, something that we have attached a lot of value to that is not God. And when we make that choice, we have to understand we're choosing to turn around. We're choosing to stop making progress spiritually in our life. We're choosing to go back to where we came from and head the wrong direction. We can always find reasons to stop making progress, to still have a lot of movement and a lot of motion in our life, but not actually grow spiritually like we should. So we have to understand, we have to realize what's behind us, what we're leaving behind. But then I also think that there needs to be a reason that drives us forward. And so secondly, we need to realize what's ahead. Not only realize what's behind us, but also realize what's ahead of us. So look with me in verse 16. Here's Ruth's famous statement. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and so there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth's statement really shows like her focus. It shows where she was looking. She mentions a couple things about where she's going. She mentions that it's going to be her home. There's a home there for her. She's going to lodge where Naomi lodges. She talks about the people that are there, that those people will become her people. And then she says that thy God will be my God. out of those three things, she could have found two of them back in Moab. She could have found a place to live and people there. Both of those, if she had just returned to Moab, were also there. One of those three things would not be found back in Moab. And that was the worship of Jehovah. That was really the one thing that was different, that set apart Moab from Israel, is that Jehovah was the God of Israel. That's what makes a difference. When we set our eyes upon God and our relationship with God, that's what draws us forward and drives us forward to really make progress. If we are pinning our hopes on something else, if we've set our eyes on anything else, we've set our goals toward anything else, it will not help us make progress in our Christian life. If we're trying to walk with God for something other than God, we will not be making progress. Because if it's about something else, there's always going to be an easier way to get it. There always will be. It'd be like if you put two tables, one on either side of me, and you put donuts on each table, and you said, you can have a donut. And I looked both sides. One of them is guarded by a pit bull, and the other is not. I'm going to the side where there is no dog, right? Even if I look at both tables and there's a crowd of people around that table and nobody's over here, I'm going this direction. If this one's slightly uphill and this one's downhill, I'm going downhill to get the donut, right? I'll walk uphill afterwards and work off the calories, right? We're gonna take the easy path. If we're looking for something other than God, we're going to go where it's easy to find it. We're going to take the easy path to that, and it's going to cause us to veer away from God. It's going to cause us to go a different direction, and we will no longer be making the progress that we should be if it's about something else. And in the end, we may find ourselves getting what we want, what we're going after, but we'll realize that along the way, we have not gotten closer to God. We'll have found maybe what we're going after and pursued after, and maybe we'll achieve it and we'll gain that. But at some point we'll realize, in all that I've done, I really haven't drawn closer to God. I haven't. I've focused on something else and I have not progressed like I should be progressing in my Christian life. To really make progress, our goal and our focus has to be God Himself. It has to be. That our eyes are fixed on knowing God more than anything else. And God has chosen to bless those that love Him with so many things. Right? We talk about all the blessings that we have, the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. God has chosen to pour all of those things out upon us. But if we allow things like joy and peace, even those, to become more important to us than God, and if we start pursuing those instead of pursuing God, we're going to lose those things. Like the prodigal son, when Jesus Christ gives that illustration, it starts with this son with his father, and he's got everything, right? He's got the house, and he's got everything he needs. But all of a sudden, his focus is on his inheritance and the money that his father had like provided for him. And when he gets that, he walks away from his father, and then he loses that. He blows all his money, and he finds himself without that. And it's not until he goes back to his father and he says, I'm going to reconcile with my father, that all of a sudden he has the blessings of his father's house once again. And it's in those times where we see what God gives us and we're like, I'm happy with this joy that I have. God has given me so much joy. And all of a sudden we start to pursue joy instead of God. We're going to lose the joy that God provides because it comes from God. That's what we need to see. Realize what's ahead of us, and that is a relationship with God. And through that, God blesses us. But it's when we start to seek the blessings or these other things that all of a sudden we come to this place where we're not close to God anymore. And all of a sudden we don't have those blessings that God provides. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13. So here's what the Lord tells Israel. It shall come to pass, If ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. The Lord says, listen, if you just love me with all your heart and serve me and you focus on me, he says, you'll have all of this. I'll give you the rain and you'll have your corn, your wine, your oil, your grass, cattle, all of that. You'll eat and be full. You will be satisfied. You will have all of that if you just seek me above everything else. But look at what he says in verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and that ye turn aside and worship, or turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. He says, if you seek anything else but me, you'll lose it all. All those blessings that I am providing, if you turn to something else, you will lose those. He said, but if you focus on me and you serve me and you love me, I will provide all of that for you. Loving, our love for God puts him above everything else. It sets him apart as the highest for us, as our goal and as our purpose in life. And that's the only position that he is worthy of. Right? That's the only position that's worthy of our Savior and our Lord is having our undivided love, where everything in us is poured out toward the Lord. We need to realize that that is all that should be ahead of us, that all we are pursuing in this life is God. Everything else, we realize what's behind us, and we realize the one that is before us. But the third lesson that we need to learn, back in Ruth chapter 1, we need to determine to face forward, determine to keep facing forward. Ruth chapter 1, in verse 16, the first part, Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. She says down in verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. What a choice Ruth made. That she was not going back, and that she would not be dissuaded from continuing forward. And I wonder if she knew how much this one choice would change the rest of her life. Because we know the rest of the story. We've read through the book of Ruth, and we've done a series on it a while back. We know how the story ends for Ruth, that she gets to the promised land, and she meets Boaz. They fall in love, and she has a family, and God does such a work of blessing Ruth and restoring what she had lost. And we trace it all the way back to this decision, where she made a choice to go forward and to not go back. And it's such an incredible testimony on the part of Ruth, her determination to not turn around, to not go back to her people or her gods, but to go forward. To make progress in our relationship with God is going to take determination on our part. It's going to take us making continual decisions to pursue after God and to do the work of a relationship with God. And it's a determination then that really translates into us making the decisions to faithfully love God. The second law of thermodynamics states that everything tends toward a state of disorder. That's kind of the abbreviated version. I'm sure it's more complicated than that. But that everything tends to go toward a state of disorder. Right, and if you have a household with kids, it plays out before your eyes. Because, you know, you clean everything, and then it's like, I don't know, a couple hours later, and like things are back in a state of disorder. And it's just, you know, the way it is. They get things out and play with them, and that's fine, because they're kids, and you want them to enjoy all of that. But it just gets to that point where toys are everywhere, and dirty laundry has been thrown in random places, and you go, why is it there? And they don't know either. You don't know. Nobody knows. Dishes pile up on the counter. You know, all this stuff. It just happens. But anytime you go to a house and you see things like somewhat clean or like some semblance of order, You know that there was someone, probably a wife or a mom, who has been at work. They have been doing things to like fight against the disorder that's constantly being produced in that household. They have taken steps to change that, right? And our spiritual life, there's this constant pull that we face, a pull that draws us away from God, that says, hey, why don't you focus on something else? And there's so many things that call for our attention that constantly we have to fight against. And there's got to be this continual determination that says, I'm going to focus on God above everything else. And if you turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our spiritual life, if left by itself, tends toward disorder. It tends to apathy and laziness, to loving ourselves or to loving the world. I'm thankful for God's grace in our life, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ within us. But we understand that it also takes determination and decisions on our part. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul ties both of those parts together and he gives all the glory to God. He says it is just by the grace of God. But he says you also have to understand that there was labor on my part. There's a determination on my part. And we give all the glory for anything that takes place good in our life to God. He deserves all the glory and all the credit for that. But it's not going to happen without the right choices on our part. It's going to happen because there's a determination on our part to face forward, to not look to the things that are behind us or the things that are even off to the side, but keep our focus on God and on our love for Him. It's a determination to love God and nothing else. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15. This is the command we're given. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's a command. Love not the world. A command means that we have a choice to make. It means there's a decision on our part that has to be made. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's the choice. Progress is accomplished by the grace of God in our life and our determination, the choices that we make to go forward and to love God and to love only God. So in Ruth chapter 1, both Orpah and Ruth arrive at this crossroads in their life. One of them looks back at Moab, and they see all that's behind them. And when Naomi says, turn again, Orpah says, okay. And she decides to go back, and she finds herself back where she was, having done a lot of movement and no progress. The other looks ahead and says, you know what, no matter what you say, I'm going forward. I know what's behind, I know what's ahead, and I've made my decision. I'm determined to go forward. And the question tonight for us is, which way are our feet pointing? Which way are our feet pointing tonight? Where are our eyes looking? Because our life is going to follow where our eyes are focused, where our heart is headed. And I want to go to one more passage, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And the Lord said, I want you to take my word and put it right here. Right here. So this is what you see all the time. It's right before your eyes. So everywhere you look, this is what you see. And that needs to be the attitude of our heart. That we have set God before us His word, His will, His way, and that is our focus. So that we're not tempted to look back, we're not tempted to turn around. That is our focus, that's what is before us. Psalm 16 and verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And Ruth looks at her daughters-in-law and says, why don't you turn again? Turn again, my daughters. And we feel the pull of our flesh in all sorts of different ways. And we feel the temptation of the world to go different directions and to seek after different things. And all of that is there to turn us away from God. We've made it this far in our Christian life. God has brought us to this point. Are we going to keep going? Are we going to keep making progress? Are we going to keep focused on the Lord that saved us, the Lord that loves us? Are we going to keep focused on Him? Or are we going to allow something else? Have we allowed something else to just shift our focus from the Lord? And all of a sudden we've started, instead of making progress, we started just kind of going around in circles. And we're still doing stuff. There's still movement and motion in our life. But it's like we stopped making any progress in walking with the Lord. We stopped getting closer to God. And all of a sudden we found ourselves getting more distant and more far apart from the Lord in our relationship with Him. Are we going to keep going? Tonight, why don't we all make that decision? The same decision Ruth made, where we say, you know what, I know what's behind it and I don't want that. The Lord's delivered me from that. I don't want anything that's off to the side. I want the Lord. I want to know the Lord. And why don't we make that choice tonight that says, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to put my eyes back where they need to be. I'm going to set the Lord always before me. And I'm going to determine, starting now, to go forward and to make progress in my Christian life. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we're thankful for this challenge from Your word. And we pray that You'd help us to make progress, not just to do things in our life, but to progress forward in the right direction. And Lord, we pray that we would set You before us, that You would be all that there is to us. Lord, that we would fix our eyes solely upon You, that we would love You with all of our heart, that we would love not the world. And so, Lord, we pray that You help us to make the choices that we need, help us to turn from those things that are not pleasing to You, and to see You and You alone. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.